If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond, and this is me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today, I think it's probably one of my favorite topics. And no, it's not sleep. It is talking, as you have noticed. I really love talking. Not that I'm the best talker necessarily, but today I want to specifically talk about wondering whether or not your child is speaking enough, whether you feel your child has delays in speech, all those type of things. As always, you can be part of the conversation. So if you want to send us a WhatsApp, you are more than welcome to send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And we would love to hear any of your questions and answer all of your questions. Today, I am joined by speech therapists, two of them. One is Kelly Bulafkin, who is a speech therapist and audiologist. Kelly, did I say your surname correctly? Maybe I should start there. Yes. See, yes. I'm correct. They're already correcting my speech as we're talking. And Barbara Bennett, who's a speech and language therapist. She's got over 23 years of experience in helping children to speak better. So I'm very much looking forward to this conversation. Thanks, guys, for joining me today.
Thanks, Yolandi. Hi. Thank
you. Yes, so I personally, I mean, with both my children, it was always such an interesting I never thought about it, to be honest, a lot about speaking, because I speak a lot, so I assumed it just naturally kind of happens. But what was interesting in my household was obviously that we spoke three languages in my household. So that was a very interesting kind of development. So my son, from the start, spoke very quickly. I think his first words were, as I think he said, mama and papa, like 10, 11 months. I feel it was very early you started speaking already. Then, so I kind of thought that's the norm. I'm like, okay, this is not surprising. I speak a lot, so obviously he's going to speak a lot. He still speaks too much. So I don't know if it's genetic. But then my daughter came along and I think mama and papa also was relatively early, but her speaking was definitely a little bit delayed in comparison to Oscar. It wasn't delayed at all. I wasn't worried by it. But then I was like wondering, is this now because we are speaking three languages? Is it because we're all just speaking for her? In the end, she's also speaking a lot now. We had 11 years, so it's all fine in the end. That was the one thing that kind of evolved. The other thing that was interesting for me as well, when my son became older, now I'm trying to say older in a nice way because I know I have this weird way of pronouncing it, and I'm very aware of my pronunciation today. but when my son was older, he had a bit of a lisp when he spoke, and he actually went to a speech therapist. In the end, it was, for me, the beauty of it was just wonderful how speech was so connected with other things. Because from the kind of speech therapy, he went to occupational therapy and all these things. And what I'm actually trying to get to, and the point I'm trying to make is that very seldom I have found that anything happens in isolation. The body is very connected, and speech often has to do with feeding, and feeding has to do with speech, and all these things are so intertwined, and all of these things kind of work together. So nothing in the body is isolated. It works together as a whole in the end of the day. And that's, for me, the wonderful part. And often, even as a sleep consultant, I have worked with various professionals because of this, because sleep is interrelated with so many different things. And that's why I'm very excited about this topic today, and speaking to Kelly and Barbara, again, both very, very informed about the topic. But let's get into it, specifically with regards to little ones and when they should be speaking. So Kelly, let's start with, the beginning part of it. Why is early speech and language development so important, especially in that beginning part, that first 5 years of life?
So Yolandi, the first 5 years of life are often called the critical period of speech and language development because the brain is primed to learn language in those first 5 years, and especially in the first 3 years. And language is almost fully developed by 3 years old. And from three onwards, children develop vocabulary, and then the language they have actually allows them to learn more about the world. And this leads us on to the importance of early intervention. And Barbara and I believe strongly in early intervention. When you identify those speech or language delays early on, ideally before the age of three, intervention is far more effective. And the brain is so highly adaptable to learning, and children can actually catch up very quickly with the right support.
And I mean, I love that. And I think lots of things, even with sleep, I have to say early intervention is always better because it does make a difference. And I love that you guys are so focused on, if you're setting that great foundation of language in the end of the day, because again, as well, yes, it's fully developed. I can't even believe that it's like fully developed at 3 years. I mean, for me, that's like, obviously they can still learn more words, but it's just crazy that it's like at such a young age already. And I mean, we know that as well, is that in the end of the day, language development itself it evolves in different ways. So Barbara, that brings me kind of to my next question, is like, what are like the typical speech and language milestones for different ages? Because I mean, talking is one of the things, but I mean, talking is the end of the communication, is, or I mean, if you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely, Yolandi. And you are so right in saying that. And the first, most, one of the most important milestones is to ensure that in that first year from 0 to 1, that pre-verbal skills are set in place to set the stage for the development of speech and language. So pre-verbal skills would be things like the child's ability to engage, engage in joint attention, to take turns, to imitate. And you can imagine, you know, like imitating mama, clapping hands, or even earlier on than that, while you're changing your very young baby's nappy, you open your mouth or you open your eyes and your baby will imitate. That's the start of, that's one of the pre-verbal skills and the start of language development.
I like that. I like the word pre-verbal as well. I don't know if I ever had that.
Yeah. So things like, as I said, imitation is important. Turn-taking is important. It's back and forth, because ultimately that's where we're going to with speech and language. It's not about learning to speak in isolation. Speech and language is designed for the reciprocal interaction between a listener and a speaker. And without turn-taking, a child can't get involved in that at all. So pre-verbal skills are important, and then we get on to the development of babbling and cooing. So babies start with cooing, aga, when they're little. And then that quite soon develops into babbling. And you will know as a mom that you celebrate when your child is able to start, when they start to make sounds, baba, dada, mama, that kind of thing. And initially it's simple kind of sound combinations, like baba, mama, ma, ba, up. But quite soon, and certainly by the end of that first year, they're starting to put sounds together so that you get things like bada or badagu, that kind of thing, where you're getting changes in both the consonant and the vowel. Obviously, receptive language. So receptive language is the understanding of language, and that is critical. Without, remember that receptive language starts first. First, the child understands, then they learn to speak. So they understand in their first year simple things like they watch their mama, they hear a noise, they look at the door because they know that that noise means somebody is coming in. So receptive language is really important. And then we move on to the age after about, say, from 1 to 2, where we would see the development of more development of speech and language. First, the understanding of about 50 words, the expression of about 10 to 50 words. And at that point in time, the expression of the child may not be 100% intelligible. Intelligible means, doesn't mean is it intelligent, means do you understand it? Do other people understand it? And at that early stage, babies, parents, or uninitiated listeners understand between 25 and 50% of what the baby says.
I love that also because I always say that it's only parents who can understand certain things that a 2-year-old says, and no one else can understand what the hell's
And
going on.
Yolanda, you're quite right in saying that, because parents crack the code. And so often parents
Not
think that
always.
the most parents crack the code. They understand what their child is saying, and they don't understand that other people don't understand. And that's and Kelly will come to that later on. That's an important thing. You uninitiated listeners understand what your child is saying. So beyond the age of, say, 1 to 2, obviously language develops further by the mama eat apple, baby eat apple, whatever, eat, daddy eat apple, daddy go work, those kind of sentences. And we would expect those sentences certainly by the time the child is 3. Obviously, there's a big variation in the development of speech and language. And some children, especially children who are exposed to a lot of language, will develop language early. You mentioned more than one language, and that's really important because we know that the development of the use of bilingualism does delay the onset of speech and language. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's the best time to introduce more than one language. And do that so long as you are understanding your child. If your child's very unintelligible, you need to reduce it to the mother tongue, not to the language you think is right, the mother tongue. That's the language that's important.
Oh, that is so, I mean, so very, very interesting, and I'm looking forward to getting more into that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today we're speaking about speaking. When should your child be speaking? When are they talking not enough? When are they talking too much? I feel that that's my world at the moment. But yes, I'm joined today by speech therapist Kitty Bulafkin and Barbara Bennett to talk about this important topic. Barbara also has an extensive amount of experience, and she's also the founder of the Talk Shop, but more on that a little bit later. Before we got to that, it was so interesting just now for me, Barbara, where you were going into how the speech develops. And I love, and I think that's an important thing. And even now I'm learning and trying to listen. But so much, and I often say when parents are really worried whether or not their children are actually speaking enough, I often say, as long as you can see that there's understanding, I feel is going in the right direction. So I'm learning a lot, and I'm loving the conversation. But now it comes to the next point as well. It's because you also said there's a little bit of variation between kind of what is normals and hitting these milestones. Because again, out of my own experience with my children, and you're saying like parents will crack the code. My son very actively called yogurt vooty for a very, I don't even know. I even Googled vooty to see if it's an actual word in some language in the world. It's not. And no, definitely not yogurt. And he very adamantly, and he called, so I at least I cracked the code, but he even called a penguin, he called vakana. So he had like these literal actual words for certain things that he just made up. And to this day, I have to say, we still use vakana as a word for penguin sometimes. So he did, in some essence, I guess, create his own language a little bit. But there is some, like with any development, there is variation, I guess. But how much variation is normal when it comes to language development, Teddy?
Violante, there's a wide range of what's considered typical in terms of variation. And as you mentioned, some children do develop speech and language quickly, and others take a little bit more time. However, if a child is consistently behind across multiple milestones or not progressing over time, it's definitely worth seeking guidance. And if we look at, often we hear boys talk later than girls, and this is true. And as Barb's already mentioned, bilingualism also delays speech milestones. But it's hard to give an actual, definition of the exact amount of variation.
Oh. And I mean, but I mean, also obviously, maybe also getting your hearing test is a good idea when you've got some delays in milestones.
100%. And I've actually put that, I've actually thought to, mention that later on. But definitely, the first thing we always do if we get a child who's delayed, we recommend that they first get their hearing tested because often with our little kids and that population, they're very prone to middle ear fluid. So, fluid in their middle ear. And for them, it basically sounds like they're underwater and they can miss out on a lot of speech and language. And that's why our first step is always to get that hearing tested and ruled out.
Things are so connected, but I mean, it is necessary to be. But something that you now just mentioned that I'm wondering about, because you very specifically said like speech and language. Is there a difference between speech and language development? Barbara?
If I can answer that. So speech is the motoric production of the words, and language is more of a broader concept of understanding and expressing one's ideas. So and they're very, very different. And sometimes we see children with only with speech errors, where as your little boy he had a lisp, and that's a very simple error. But we sometimes get children who produce so many errors that it becomes impossible to understand that child. But that's a speech problem. Because in that kind of child, they could have a lot of speech errors, but actually their language underneath that is quite well developed. And we need to sort that and to separate that out.
That is so interesting. I never really thought, I mean, once you've now said it and explained it, it makes sense. But I never really thought about that. It's actually two obviously different things that I, like I said, didn't even think about. But now again, what are some of the red flags, Kelly, when we look out for the speech, and what are some red flags we need to be looking out for and we need to be vigilant about when we're dealing with our children? Because you've mentioned it, early intervention is very important.
Yes, absolutely. So, Yolandi, a baby that doesn't babble, we look at that as a red flag. If a child has a limited vocabulary or difficulty combining words or sounds as they start developing their language, we also look at poor grammatical structures. So if a child is consistently using the wrong grammar and, those are things like the past tense, the different types of words, and we look at all those kinds of things. We look at a child who struggles to follow simple instructions or a simple storyline from about 15 to 18 months. We have to look, as you said, it's very multifaceted, and we look at a child who has difficulty with chewing and swallowing food at any stage. And this may show that they have difficulty coordinating the muscles of their mouth. And of course, this might have a knock-on effect in the development of their speech because everything, as you said, is so closely linked. And another thing to be on the lookout for is picky eating that is on the rise, and we see it's also very linked. A few more, so difficulty expressing themselves, which leads to frustration. A child who only speaks in one setting or to a limited number of people. Excessive drooling that persists a little bit, so after 15 months. Regression of speech and language. So if they once were doing a certain number of things and then they stopped doing it. And as we spoke about earlier, speech that is very difficult to understand by 3 years old. So it is typical for younger children to simplify some of their speech to make it easier for them to pronounce those words. And there are things that are age appropriate, but a persistent difficulty in understanding your child, as Barbara said, by uninitiated listeners. So if it's the grandparents or, family friends or other people are saying they can't understand the child, then that is a red flag. And two more, so children who don't engage with significant people in the environment. And the last one is a child who is disfluent. So of course there is well, there are some normal stages of disfluency, but if it persists, then you need to check it out.
Oh, and I mean, that's also for me again. I mean, all those things again, it's not surprising in some ways. It's the red flags, I think it's, but I mean, again, I'm also someone who deals with children all the time, so I'm not the normal person. So I'm not saying, oh, that makes sense to me, but it might not make sense to you, especially if you don't have multiple children or if you're not around a lot of children, you might not even realize this. So it's a very good thing. But I now also remember when I took my son to speech therapy, this extensive form I had to fill in beforehand. And one of the questions was also, did he have a lip tie? Did he have a tongue tie? And my son also has a split uvula at the back of his throat. And that's also apparently a part of the last part of the mouth or something that's forming and all these type of things. So I, again, look at all these things. And then, and he struggled, he didn't struggle to feed, but he was a picky eater and he struggled to eat like solid foods that I had to puree for an unusual amount of time, his foods. So again, like, ooh, all these things interrelated. But now also, I mean, even this, everything is always evolving. Sleep is evolving, and the research we're doing on it, even introduction to solids and what we know about it and what I did 10 years ago is different. Do you see like an increase in like specific speech and language disorders, Barbara?
I think we certainly do, Yolandi. And the condition that comes most to mind is the condition which of autism. We are seeing a rapid rise in children who are presenting with autistic spectrum disorder. And the current research suggests about one in 36 births. Those amount of children present with autism,
Oh,
and it's frightening. It's
wow.
frighteningly high. It really is. And so, with children with autism, these children are often children who don't develop those early preverbal skills that I was talking about early. So they don't engage with other people. They don't take turns. They're on their own mission. There's very little interaction between them and the rest of the world. So autism is characterized by two things. One is social communication, which would include obviously a speech and language delay, but also an inability to make friends. And then the second part of autism is a restricted or repetitive either interests or obsessions. And you many children, they get hooked on things like bugs or the planets. And often parents think, gee, that's brilliant that my child is so obsessed with the planets, but actually that's all they can talk about. They aren't able to say if they've got a sore throat, but they can tell you that they can give you the sequence of planets from the sun to Uranus. Not that I can
No.
say that, but you know what I mean. So I think autism is the one that we are seeing the most rise
Yeah.
in the numbers of children presenting with autism. So as you know, we run a school and we see, I would say, probably almost 60 to 70% of our children now have not necessarily full-blown autism, but they certainly have signs of autism. And it is extremely concerning. We don't know why it's happening. And people say, oh, it's because your assessments are better. Yes, our assessments are better, but there is no doubt that autism is on the rise, and it's worrying.
Oh, and I mean, and again, I think this is also autism is a wonderful example of what I was mentioning earlier about, I mean, any person who presents with autism or anything on the spectrum, it is a combination of people. And I mean, in my head, if I thought autism, I do have to say that speech therapy was a little bit on the lower end of my someone who has to be part of that. But obviously, now that you're mentioning it, also the communication of it. It needs to be higher up on my list of thinking when I'm thinking of someone who has autism. And again, wasn't really thinking. I was more in the direction of OT and things like that. I was thinking, but again, such a beautiful way of what I was mentioning about earlier, that holistic perspective when it comes to that it's very seldom in isolation, these type of things, but more like a combination of things that need to happen. But on that note, I mean, that's now a good one and segue into my next question is because that was my perception. Kelly, what is some common myths and misconceptions?
I often hear from parents that they'll say, no, they're just a late talker, or they'll grow out of it. Some parents even say, no, their children are being lazy, or they don't talk because they have older siblings who talk for them. And one that we hear quite often is they were possessed by demons. Obviously, it can be cultural, but as I mentioned, early intervention, you know, these are myths and children don't just grow out of it. It just makes that gap even bigger of their language delay.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, unfortunately, you have missed most of my show, but don't fret. It was a great show. And luckily for you, it will be available as a podcast afterwards on HiFM.com for you to go listen to. I have been speaking to Barbara Bennett and Kelly Bulafkin, speech therapist and audiologist, who have extensive, between the two of them, an extensive amount of experience in speech therapy. And you will be able to actually go hear it when you go listen to this podcast. As I mentioned, this podcast is available on hifm.com for you to go listen to. This one and all of my shows are available as a podcast. So I do encourage that you go listen to some of the topics that I have covered. And if you have a specific topic that you would love for me to talk about in future, please do send me an email on Yulandi. It's Yulandi with a J at goodnightbaby.co.za. I would love, love, love to hear from you, to hear what's going on. So, I mean, both of you, this has been such a wonderful talk, really. I've loved it so much and I've learned quite a lot and also have been reminded about how important this topic is as well. And again, also, I think just what you were mentioning before, Barbara, about autism and the impact of speech in autism because of communication, obviously, as well. And again, When I think speech therapist, I feel actually a little bit silly coming into this conversation because, I mean, it's the foundation of communication, and interacting, connection, and attachment that we're talking about here. So speech is a part of it, but it's so much more. And I mean, you just started off how the development of a baby, interacting, them understanding, them cooing, gooing with you. That's what attachment and connection is all about. So this is, it's important. It's very important. And again, it has such a foundation in various things that we're doing. So I love, love, love how it develops. But on a last note, just to kind of finish off, when, Kelly, should parents be seeking the assessment from a speech therapist?
So, Yolandi, as I mentioned, if you are worried in any way, you should always start with a hearing test just to rule out any hearing difficulties. But if something doesn't feel right as a parent, or if your child seems to be struggling to communicate, it's always better to check it out. So, if you're having any doubts as a parent, we recommend going to take them for an assessment. As we
Great.
said, early intervention is key.
Yeah, and I mean, you said like that first 3 years, and I mean, to be honest, even thinking about taking my, it should be on your tick list of things to check. You know, they always say check their eyes, check the hearing, all those things. In some ways, it's also just getting it checked, I feel, is why not? But where can they reach you guys, Kitty and Barbara? Where can they reach you guys if anyone is interested to find out more?
So Kelly and I both work at the Talk Shop, which is an early intervention centre. The Talk Shop runs, it's a preschool, and we have intensive speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, play therapy. Having said that, we do in the afternoon run an outpatient clinic, where we have children who present with more simple speech and language difficulties. We also have a feeding school. And the other thing that we didn't mention was we run a course called the Hannon course, which is a course specifically designed for parents, and it improves the interaction between the child and the parent. And in so doing, it improves the language learning for the child. We do those online as well. But if you'd like to telephone the talk shop, our landline is 011 463 8160. And we operate from Bryanston, which may not suit everybody, but if we are unable to help you, or if it's inconvenient for you to come to us, we will be able to refer you to a therapist who is closer to where you are.
Great. Oh, guys, this has been a wonderful and very insightful talk. And I thank you so much for joining me and for talking about this. Talking, mind the pun. And speaking
Thank you,
about it,
Randy.
I've learned so much. And I'm sure all the parents out there have learned a lot as well. So thank you so much. Again, if you've only just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. And this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I was talking about language development. And when you should be worried, when you shouldn't be worried, and also kind of how it should progress and how important it is for setting the communication between you and your baby for future. I mean, attachment really can't happen if there is not communication. It doesn't mean it needs to be verbal communication, but part of that foundation, obviously, is communicating, and that attachment can happen obviously only if the foundation of speech is there. Thank you so much for joining me today. It, as always, was wonderful. And I want to remind you, one of the greatest gifts you can give your child is the example of kindness. Use your kind words when you're going out there. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.